Until he extends the circle of compassion to all living things, man will not find peace. Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Hi, I'm Karen Pomeroy, founder of Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary in Green Valley, Arizona. We are a nonprofit dedicated to saving Premarin mares and foals from slaughter. We also educate the public on the horrors behind Premarin, a drug used to alleviate menopausal symptoms in women. Since 2002, we have saved over 200 horses that have been enslaved and had no voice. They deserve to live without abuse, pain, and suffering. Won't you please consider a tax-deductible donation, sponsoring a horse, or if right for you, adopting one? Visit www.equinevoices.org to learn more about our programs, or call 520-398-2814. Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary, where being with horses brings us in contact with the rare elements of grace, beauty, and spirit. 520-398-2814.
Hello again, folks. Thanks for joining us here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. This is our final segment of the day. It's just flown by. And with great pleasure to invite a friend of mine who actually came on our show back in June of 2008 to our show again, Karen Pomeroy, the founder of Equine Voices Horse Rescue and Sanctuary. How are you today, Karen?
I'm wonderful, Zara. How are you?
Now, come on. I know you're wonderful, but I also know you're pulling your hair out because you've got your big fundraiser tomorrow, don't you?
A little stressed out, but it's okay. It's all coming together.
That's great.
Really well.
Well, that's courtesy of phenomenal staff and volunteers. It's giving you the chance to hang out with your buddy horses today, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Saturday's my day to actually manage the ranch, so I wouldn't want to be anywhere else on this beautiful day.
That's great. Well, let me give a brief introduction to Karen and organization, then we'll let it roll. Karen is actually a native of upstate New York, and following a successful career in corporate marketing for corporate relocations and payroll services, she opted out to travel the world for 18 months, a trip that changed her life and led her ultimately to work with wild Mustang horses at a sanctuary in California. She then came to Arizona in 2004, the same year we did, and established Equine Voices to rescue and provide a safe sanctuary for unwanted horses from across the U.S. and Canada. These horses were specifically victimized by the Premarin hormone replacement drug industry. In now these 6 years, their 501c3 profit has rescued countless mares, many of whom were pregnant at the time of rescue, so it's mom and babies ultimately. Equine Voices today also hosts clinics and special education programs, plus helps individuals and organizations place other horses in need. Karen and her colleagues are really catalysts for change to give voice to these noble creatures so they can live without abuse, pain, and suffering, as well as are strong educators and the challenges related to the Premarin drug and, regretfully now, other drugs that may be made in similar fashion from the urine of these magnificent creatures. So Karen, that trip where you hooked up then with those wild Mustangs in California, it really wasn't that long ago if you think about it.
You mean as far as the rescue work that I did in California,
yes,
the trip around the world? That
well, both of them. You think about where you've come in such a short amount of time and now sitting astride this magnificent organization.
Well, I think it's one of those things where when you finally realize what your purpose is in life, mm-hmm. things just fall together. You know, it's about believing in yourself and trusting. And you're right. I mean, in a very short period of time, we've developed an organization that really is far beyond where I ever imagined it to be. So I give credit to just so many different things.
The fact you've been a lifelong animal advocate and then got exposed to this whole Premarin scenario, I suspect some of our listeners aren't even aware. Could you just give us the kind of 101 overview of this difficult situation?
Yeah, well, I learned about Premarin when I was rescuing wild Mustangs. I love all horses. They're very near and dear to my heart. But when I found out about the drug Premarin and where it came from, I was just horrified. It is a drug that is collected. It's actually made from pregnant mare's urine, and the mares must be pregnant in order to collect the estrogen from the urine to make the drug Premarin, which is a hormone replacement therapy drug that women take while they're going through their menopausal years. And the way the horses are treated is horrific. They withhold water on a regular basis from the mares. Because they want that urine more concentrated. They use primarily draft crosses so they can collect more urine because the horses are larger in size. And typically they will be standing in their stall for up to 6 months, sometimes more, in a stall where it's too small for them to lie down. So essentially it's a factory farming type of a mm-hmm. situation. Coupled with that, and when I found out about the drug and the side effects that it does cause to women, you know, women die practically every day if they take this drug for a long period of time because it creates cancer, ovarian cancer, dementia, blood clots. And in fact, I don't know if you knew this, Zara, but a couple weeks ago, NBC News had a big piece about PremPro, which is another hormone replacement therapy. And basically, they've done a recent study, very recent, within the last year, that is proving the acceleration of breast cancer, which is one of the side effects from the drug PremPro.
Which is just startling to think. I think that first study you talked about was released in 2002, and yet this drug is still being manufactured and prescribed.
Correct.
So your mission here, of course, the animal advocate, the side of rescue and sanctuary and peace now for these animals, but also to educate women and those who love women, their women and family members, to realize that the precarious situation that it's in.
Correct.
So right now, your foundation, first off, it's not a minor thing to even get a foundation established, but you've got another amazing news to share with us. It's not just that you are now a 501c3, but also you have some international accreditation now.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be able to announce this. Well, we received the accreditation on March 5th of this year, and it's through the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries. There are several organizations out there that accredit different sanctuaries, but this one is really the one global foundation that not only accredits horse rescues, but all sanctuaries across the world.
Got it.
And it's so thrilling to be able to announce this because my goal is to become an international voice for the voiceless. And I'm hoping that through this federation, it will allow us to really follow that dream and make that happen.
I love that. In fact, our first segment with you back in 2008, we had called Hearing Voices Across Borders, because actually most of the horses you rescue now are indeed from Canada, correct?
Correct. There are no longer any farms that are in the United States. To my knowledge, all my research is finding that the farms that are left in production are in Canada. That may change when a new drug that is supposed to be slated to come on the market in 2011 called Aprella, if that drug does come out, I have a feeling new farms will open up in the U.S. again, but for the moment, they're in Canada only.
So do you have a sense of how many horses you've rescued over these years?
Well, we've rescued, I would say, over 350. Wow. It's hard to tell because I do help rescue horses and place horses, even if they don't come here. And these horses may be coming from other industries, not necessarily the Premarin industry, although that is our main mission, is the Premarin industry and the awareness around that drug. But due to the economy and the recent abandonment issues with horses and the local drug trade, the illegal drug trade, and other abuse cases, we've sort of branched out. So I would say about 350, but the number is even higher because we do help place horses by just opening up information if we can't take a horse here, to try to place them through our database and our networking capabilities.
That's wonderful. I know if anybody goes to visit your site, which, folks, I really encourage you to take a look at equinevoices.org, that Gulliver, of course, is your mascot, not just your logo, but the actual real deal. Tell us about Gulliver.
Well, Gulliver is the reason why I started Equine Voices. I was still in California, and I found a little piece of heaven here, and at the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains near Green Valley. And I rescued Gulliver and three other PMU babies. They were 11 months old at the time. And when I moved here, they moved here the same week. And Gulliver, I was supposed to rescue one horse, and Gulliver was the fourth. And it was because he's a big Clydesdale cross, and the person I was working with said, when he grows up, he will weigh a lot, and he'll get a lot for the pound. He's definitely going to slaughter. So I ended up rescuing him as well. And when I moved here and they moved here, I just looked around and I said, you know, Gulliver, I think there's a little more that we can do here. And so that's how the organization started. Everybody said at the beginning he was big and ugly. He's the most magnificent creature, in my opinion, on this planet. And he's our mascot. So he's really the guy that his big job is to educate people about the byproduct of the industry, meaning the foals. That's Gulliver. He's a big, he has a big presence and a huge heart.
Well, and I would say, I know you have a series of trainers yourself and others that have worked with him over the years, too. He's quite the showman.
He is.
He's not going to be just the guy that's grazing out in the pasture.
Oh, no. He knows he's the mascot. He really does. And he can put on quite a show at our fundraisers. He's pretty funny, actually.
Well, in fact, I know you every year in April have a lovely fundraiser at the Brandy Fenton Park that really brings people out. But you've also, tomorrow, in fact, have your big Wine and Dine event. Give us a quick preview for that.
Well, the Wine and Dine Gala, it's our fourth annual one, and this year we're having it at the historic Arizona Inn in Tucson, Arizona. I'm so thrilled about it. It'll be our first time having it there, and I'm hoping it will be there for years to come. We have live music by Becky Reyes, a cocktail hour with silent auction. We have amazing auction items that have been donated to us. We have hors d'oeuvres, and then at 6 o'clock we'll be going into the Tucson Room for a three-course meal, sit-down dinner, where our live auction will take place with Cowboy Bob, who is a professional live auctioneer. And I'd like to mention that some of the items that will be available at the live auction are phenomenal, and I'd like to mention one in particular, the G. Clay Night Horses by Alan Martin. It's a special limited edition G. Clay. And I'm so thrilled about that piece, because that piece is near and dear to my heart as well. So we have some amazing things happening tomorrow night, and there are some seats available, but if anybody is interested in coming, I would need to have that count today.
Very good. And so they can contact you, Karen, then. How is it we could get people to contact you?
The number would be 398-2814.
Very good. 398-2814. Karen, this is the sobering story behind the Premarin industry and everything that you're doing, of course, and in these tough economic times, to be supporting a nonprofit that is residential for horses, you've got a lot of expenses to meet. I know you've introduced some novel ways that people that may not get a chance to come and visit the sanctuary can actually sponsor a horse, right, for a certain amount of money per month.
Correct.
What's other ways people can help you out right now?
Well, sponsoring a horse is a way. It's $50 a month, and the individual will receive a beautiful photo of the horse and their story. We started Gulliver's Fan Club because of the economic times. Some people may not be able to afford the $50 a month. So Gulliver has his own fan club, and it's $10 a month. And the individual receives a beautiful sticker and can become a member of his own personal blog. And $10 a month, some people don't think makes a difference. But when you multiply that by the numbers, it really does make a difference. And the way I look at it is, it's a bale of hay. So $10 a month for Gulliver's Fan Club, the sponsorship. People can sponsor things like a hoof trim or donate bags of feed or hay, things like that. I do have a list on our website as far as some of the items that we do need, you know, to keep things going here at the ranch.
I know that your field of volunteers, of course, you have a stable set that come, but also I know with the appropriate training for safety, you do welcome people to come down and spend an afternoon and get connected in a very spiritual way with these magnificent animals. Tell us about some of those opportunities.
Yeah, well, we are a working ranch, but we are available for tours, for instance, or visits by appointment. As far as the volunteer program is concerned, we have an amazing group of people that help us on a daily basis. They really are the backbone of the organization. We do have a volunteer orientation, typically the first Saturday of every month, where people can come, learn a little bit about our programs here, take a tour of the ranch, and then if they're interested, they can stay for the safety class, which allows them to get started the next time to actually go out there and be with the horses. This month, it'll be the second Saturday since we have our wine tasting event tomorrow. So that's our volunteer program. And if people don't have horse experience, that's okay. It's a great place to learn about horses and learn a little bit about safety as well. So that volunteer program is really critical to the foundation.
I think people also need to understand and respect, of course, and honor that these really are, though, different type of rescued horses, right? I mean, many of them never had the chance to run free. And so when they come to you, there really is a rehabilitation phase, is there not?
There is, and that's why safety is really important to us, obviously, because we want the humans and the horses to be safe. The horses that are here are all at different levels of rehabilitation. So it just depends on the horse and the individual. But most of them have come around. In fact, Mystic, who is our big white PMU mare that would not let anybody touch her 2 years ago, has been trained under saddle. So she's actually being ridden now, which is a huge, huge undertaking. And actually, it's just amazing. And that what she's teaching us, like most horses do, is that they can learn to trust with the right relationship with their humans. So it is pretty phenomenal.
Well, and I think that's what you've always said about people that get involved, both as volunteers and those who might indeed rescue one through your help, that there really is this heartfelt symbiotic connection that happens, and maybe even from something as simple as viewing a photograph on your website.
Absolutely. In fact, I've adopted several horses just because the person has fallen in love with that horse through a photograph. It's pretty amazing. It's just that heart connection. So yeah. It's neat.
Well, Karen, you started your journey in 2004. Here we are 6 years later. I'd ask you to maybe step 6 years from now, and what do you see?
Whoa. Oh, my gosh. Well,
this is the power of intention, my friend. We put it on the air, and it will happen.
Oh, absolutely, and I believe that. I just absolutely believe it. I mean, for me, it's always been, you know, that cliche of the glasses, you know, half full, not half empty, and mm-hmm. with trust and really with the right intentions, I think anything can be, I think anything can be developed or any dreams can come true. But to answer your question, okay, this is the dream. Living on 200 acres or more with pasture and all the facilities that we need to be able to have clinics and, you know, a nice riding arena to be able to teach classes and pasture and grass for some of these mares so they can retire and live out their lives the way that they're meant to be. So that's where I see myself in 6 years.
So right now your property, of course, as beautiful as it is and a nice, lovely place in Arizona, though, is bounded in size.
It is.
And so you have to bring the feed in for the horses every week, correct?
Correct.
Right. So I'm already out there thinking, are we hearing potentially a benefactor that knows they've got a ranch or a chunk of ground? 200 acres, folks, that's what the number is.
Let's dream it.
Let's dream it together. How old is Gulliver now, do you think?
Gulliver's 7.
Oh, he's a kid.
He's a kid. He's about 7 and a half. He was 7 in May. So, yep, he's a teenager, actually.
So he'd like to probably design his stall at this future ranch.
I think he would.
Sure, he'll have the pole position or whatever you call it in horseman's language.
That's right. As long as it's big and it has grass on it, I think he'd be
happy.
He'd
be just fine. I know, Karen, the last time we spoke too, you had the opportunity to start a couple programs related to reaching out for veterans and other special youth groups, the Girl Scouts, whatever, that it becomes more than going there for the horses. In fact, maybe that's just the venue. It's really about what happens in people's hearts. Tell us a little bit about some of those experiences you shared.
Well, the Veterans Program was a pilot program, and it was, in my opinion,